You know, there's an ongoing battle that's been taking place for years between two battery manufacturers. Duracell, with their copper top, provides the most power that you can buy on the market. But on the other hand, the Energizer Bunny goes on and on and on. These two have been doing this ever since I can remember, right? And still doing it, thinking that they are the best battery, providing the most power. Captain Kirk would say on the Star Trek Enterprise, "Scotty, I need more power," right? Oh, and but we can't forget about Tim the Toolman Taylor, because he wanted more power, right? Remember him? Oh. You know the Eureka NEU-202 Power Speed Lightweight Bagless Vacuum claims to have more power than its competitors. The 2019 Corvette ZR1 has how much power, Tim? 1,000 horsepower. I'd like to take that one for a spin.
That's not a production car.
Greater than all of these, greater than all of these is the power of the blood. The power of the gospel is greater than anything that we can ever imagine. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5, it says that the gospel came with power and is powerful. So today I would like for you to consider with me the power of the gospel. What's the scripture say about the powerful gospel that God has given to us? First thing we need to recognize, though, before I get into 3 points, is that the gospel will never fail. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 6 tells us that the gospel is everlasting. And it will continue to be preached on this earth until the end of this earth. You think about all of the wars and rumors of wars, the captivities from the Israelite nation on up through the Holocaust, and all of the things that have taken place in our world, the gospel has continued to be preached. God will not allow his good news to fail. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 13 says that the gospel will be preached to the whole world. It's not just for certain individuals. It's not just for a group of people, but it's for the whole entire world. Everyone will have the chance to hear the good news. The gospel has power. God is going to make sure that it is the most powerful, and it will remain until the end of time. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 says this, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." The light of the gospel has shined into the hearts of men. What a beautiful picture. I don't know about you, but at some point in time in my life, I have been scared of the dark. And even now, if I get up in the night and I'm walking through the house and it's dark, I worry about what I'm going to step on. Right? If you have children, you know that there's going to be something that has a pokey on it. And you're going to, I'm fearful of the dark. I can't see. God has given us the gospel, the light of the glory of God through Christ Jesus to shine into the hearts of men so that we may know who God is and what He is doing for us. Oh, what a blessing to have the power of the gospel. So, three things about the gospel this morning, the power of it. First is that the gospel is truth. The gospel is truth. I don't know if you've ever worked or been with somebody or know of somebody that has a problem with telling lies or not speaking the truth. It's hard to follow after their example, isn't it? It's hard to follow their leadership if they are not telling the truth. And in the political realm, maybe we've had these issues before where somebody says something that they're going to do and then they lie. They're not going to do that. It's hard to submit to them. God is truth, and His word is truth. His gospel is the truth. What a relief for us to know that we can believe the truth of the gospel. There's hope in that. There's assurance in that. And Galatians chapter 2 and verse 5, Paul's explaining how there were false brethren spying on them. And he says, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. The gospel is solid. It is the truth, and it gives us hope. In Colossians chapter 1, in verse 5, it says, because I'm going to have to start in verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. See, the brethren were hearing this truth, this something completely different from what they'd ever heard before, this gospel. This word that came from God, and it built this hope up within them because they had hope of something besides what's happening on this earth. They have a hope of heaven through the truth of the gospel. And in 2 Corinthians, yes, my eyes are failing me. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 23. My eyes are failing me. Oh, no. Okay, now it's Colossians 1 and 23. Excuse me. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23 says this, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So the gospel is given. It is there for us to have hope because it is true, and that hope will give us this foundation. This strength, this ability to stand, don't be moved away from the hope of the gospel. Have faith, be grounded, and be steadfast, because we know that God is true. The gospel's truth. Secondly, the gospel has grace. It is loaded with grace. And grace being God's willingness to accept these nasty people back to Him. You have cheated me. You have played the harlot, He told the Israelite nation, right? And we have all done that in sin. But yet God's grace is just overflowing in the gospel. And so if we partake in that gospel, then the grace of God covers the sins that we have committed. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, Paul says that there is nothing more important than testifying to the gospel of the grace of God. Nothing's more important to him than letting people know about the grace of God that comes through the gospel. So in Romans chapter 5, verses 20 and 21, Romans 5, 20 and 21 says this. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. You get that? Where sin, me too, abounded, grace abounds so much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The willingness to forgive is greater than any of my mistakes. Don't ever think that you cannot be forgiven for what you have done. Whatever it may be, however nasty you think you are, the grace through the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is greater than any mistake you have ever made or will make. There's hope. There's assurance in the truth of the gospel and in the grace of the gospel. Jesus is really, really big. Really, really big. And it doesn't matter what you have done. He has it covered. The gospel is loaded with the grace. The gospel is truth. And my third point this morning is that the gospel saves. That's the power of God working through Christ Jesus, is saving us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, if you don't have any scriptures marked in your Bible, I encourage you to mark this one, because this is where we find out how this works. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand." This is where we stand, right here in the gospel. "By which also you are saved." There's the power. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received." Here's the gospel. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord gives us a foundation to stand on, the gospel. And John the Baptist said this about the gospel back in Mark 1:14. He said that you must believe in the gospel. Do you believe in the gospel of our Lord? You know, we can read it, and we can say, oh yeah, Jesus died, and he was buried, and then he was raised again. I see that. But do you truly believe in the power of the gospel? What it can do for you, in your soul, in your heart, in your conscience, in your actions, and the way that you live your life, how it can transform you from being a liar, a cheater, a thief, a drunk, a murderer, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It will transform you into the likeness of Christ Jesus. If you believe in it, you have to believe in it to begin with. We have something to stand on, and we have a way to be saved. The gospel saves us. That's power. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation." Romans chapters 1 and 16. "For whoever believes," Jew first, "and also for the Greeks." It is the power of God to salvation, but you have to believe it in order for it to do its work within you. Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 13, "In him," one of them "in hims" here, "in Christ Jesus, you also trusted, after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." The word of truth, it's true. The gospel of your salvation. And having believed in that, you have been sealed. I remember my mom having I don't know what it was called even. It was this little kitchen gadget that she would put meat and vegetables into these bags, and then she would stick it up inside of it, and it sucked it vacuumed it out, and then it sealed it. And that was my job, was to seal that, and it had to be just right. If you didn't have it just right, it had a little wonky in there, it wouldn't seal right, and then Mom was upset because you wasted a bag. But you could trim it off and do it again. You could trim it off and do it again. I don't know. Anybody have one of those? Yeah, Mike and Joy do. Okay, so the sealing portion of that was very important because that's what preserved the food. That kept the air from getting into the food, even in the freezer, and causing it to get burned and be destroyed. The sealing of me through the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit is what does the preservation of my soul. The power of the gospel is in the truth. It's in the work of our Lord and Savior. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. The gospel according to the power of God. He says it all right here. Who saved us, who has called us with a holy calling. And not only that, but he says that he has given us this preservation through Christ Jesus. It's not through my work, but it's through Christ Jesus' death on that cross. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord, and he saves us through it. Verse 10. But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The gospel has shone into the hearts of men. It is a light shining to us, and what it has brought to us is immortality. It has brought life to us. It has given us an opportunity to be saved. It brings life and not death. See, God has never wanted to destroy his people. Even whenever in Noah's time, he regretted making man. He regretted it, yeah. But I can just imagine the sorrow that God had for his people. Hey, I don't want to do this to you. Wait a minute. There's a man over here, Noah. Yeah, let's continue this on down the road because I have a plan for you, and it's a gospel that you will be partaking in. The gospel is truth, brethren. It's true, and believe it. Secondly, it is so full of grace that all mankind from now until the end of time can partake in it. Third is it can save, or it does save, not it can, it does save us through the working of our Lord and Savior. We find many other things in the Scripture about the power of the gospel. You get the blessing of Christ. The gospel establishes you. We are begotten by the gospel. The gospel is peace. The gospel is a mystery. And the gospel produces fellowship. The gospel has the power to heal, but the gospel also has the power to kill. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oof. The gospel can kill me if I don't obey it. That's where God's going to put his wrath, the vengeance upon those who do not accept his gospel. Peter says it again in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17. He says, "For the time has come for the judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?" Oof. That's a scary statement. We're going to be judged by the gospel, by the word of God, right? We have the blessing of the blood of Jesus Christ upon us if we are in the house of the Lord, if we are a Christian. But if I do not obey the gospel of my Lord, what is the end going to be like for me? He will take vengeance upon you. The gospel's powerful. And it's a blessing to be able to partake in the gospel. And if you have not given yourself to the Lord, if you have not said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I believe the gospel of the Lord, that He died and was buried and raised again." If you have not partaken in that, tomorrow may not come. You may die today. We may have an accident. Who knows when the time will come for our Lord to return? Don't let God take vengeance out on you. But have your heart covered with the blood of the Lord. The sacrifice of Christ is greater than any vacuum cleaner, any battery, any Corvette that runs the streets. Partake in it and be saved from your sins. Let's stand and sing.